This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lynn Mark and Julian Ng. It is 7:36 a.m. right now, Thursday the 26th of March. And in about half an hour, we're going to be having the Breakfast Grill, where I'll be speaking with Dato' Sri Azalina Othman Said, MP for Pengerang. So when the current government came into power, spectators immediately began to wonder about how tenuous the coalition might be and how the relationship between the constituent parties might play out. So later announcements of its cabinet lineup also drew comments and criticism from various parties. With her experience in the cabinet, having held three different ministerial roles, Dato' Sri Azalina Othman speaks to us about this and more. That's happening later on after the 8 o'clock news bulletin. In the meantime, though, taking a look at the international aviation sector, their outlook is pretty bleak as COVID-19 has brought travel to a halt.
Yesterday, we mentioned that the International Air Transport Association, or IATA, has cut its 2020 revenue forecast and expects passenger airlines to lose up to $250 billion in revenue this year, and passenger demand is also expected to drop sharply by almost 40%. In a recent note, Moody's investors said that while large carriers should be able to ride out the crisis through June, smaller and less liquid operators may collapse without support from shareholders and governments.
So for some insight into how travel restrictions are affecting airlines and the aviation sector, we speak to Jonathan Root, Senior Vice President at Moody's Investors Service. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Jonathan. Now, we know that the aviation sector is hard hit by the outbreak. Can you quantify this for us? Give us some context into how bad the impact actually is and how much worse it could potentially get.
Of course. Good morning, everyone. So this has been an unimaginable reduction in capacity, and no analyst would have modeled a scenario of what we're experiencing today, given the magnitude or in the time frame. As an example, if you look at the U.S., on March 24th, there was a 90% decline of passengers passing through the TSA checkpoint in the airports, down from 2.1 million in 2019. So any measure that we look at about airline activity in almost any country right now is going to be down in similar magnitudes. So it's so impactful.
And yesterday we saw the announcement of the stimulus package in the United States. Is there anything in there for the airline industry? And most important of all, will this help?
Yeah, well, there's definitely items in there in the package and help. And, as of about now, I think the Congress has yet to sign to finish the bill and have it signed. They're still working out some details. With respect to the airline industry, the U.S. airline industry, the current read is that there will be aid, I believe up to $25 billion, which will be intended to preserve employment. So those funds, they won't be loans, they'll be aid, again, to help the airlines maintain payroll, even though there's very little activity. Additionally, there are provisions for loan facilities. However, the way on the current read, those will only be available after the airlines exhaust other sources of capital.
So, Jonathan, during the 2008 financial crisis, you know, that was centered around the collapse of the financial sector. In the current situation, however, we are seeing significant stress on travel-related industries. So what are the potential ripple effects that could stem from this stress that global airlines are facing right now?
Right. As you say, the whole transportation industry is being hammered by this. And, of course, everywhere in the economy, there are very few areas that are immune to this. In terms of a ripple effect, the great concern across the industry right now is the demand for aircraft coming out of this. So that's the biggest risk, particularly for the manufacturers at this time, Boeing and Airbus, as well as the aircraft leasing community. So we'll see how this plays out. It's an uncertain time frame of resolution, and the pace of recovery of demand and the airlines meeting that demand by rebuilding their capacity will be a key determinant of how it all plays out.
And a lot of the help that is coming from the governments around the world for the airline sector centers around helping out with the liquidity situation. But we also noticed that the lockdowns are at risk of being extended. A lot of governments are about to or have made policies to have current lockdowns extended, especially in Malaysia as well. So when you have these lockdowns, people would not travel. The liquidity situation wouldn't help as well, Jonathan.
No, that's right. Liquidity is the most important element from our credit analysis perspective at this time. And you have it right. You know, everything is upside down right now. You know, the revenue has gone almost to zero. And we do know airlines are selling tickets for into the future. But the cost, the real challenge is reducing the cost structure. And, you know, the government facility about employment will help mitigate that liquidity risk. But taking down all the other expenses, you know, they're not flying, so they'll be saving on fuel. They'll be saving on airport charges, all the variable costs attached to a flight. The labor cost is pretty sticky, at least in the near term, because of how pilot and flight attendant schedules are arranged. But that should come down, too. So our focus is on liquidity. The companies have had, you know, they had cash on hand. They had committed revolvers. They are arranging additional facilities. And it's the real key is how quickly they can get down their daily cash burn to extend that liquidity cushion before the government aid comes in.
And Jonathan, are there any possible bright spots that airlines can look to in these trying times? I mean, does the oil price shock factor in here? Might this help mitigate the damage to airlines so far?
Sure. So, you know, right now it's hard for any of us to see bright spots. What I do know is this will come to an end and that the recovery will happen. The uncertainty is about, you know, when that starts. Regarding fuel, it varies. The benefit of not flying, obviously they're not purchasing fuel, but it will vary by different markets in the world depending on the airline strategies. So in Europe, for example, most of the players hedge their fuel, and that limits, you know, exposes them to mark-to-market on their fuel books, even though they're not consuming the fuel at this time. I understand in Asia, most airlines don't hedge. Down in Australia, they typically do. And in the U.S., they do not hedge. Or if they do, they use long calls, so they're not exposed to mark-to-market or cash collateral calls. It's an interesting, just as a fact, Moody's rates 7 airlines in the U.S. Those 7 airlines spent $34 billion on fuel last year in 2019. So at the lower price of oil, fuel is going to come down meaningfully. Right now, they're, you know, buying little fuel because they're not flying. But when they start flying again, if we expect oil prices to remain low, there will be some financial benefit. And I think that's an example of, you know, while that's a commodity, managing the other expenses to the level of activity will be helpful as the companies rebuild their networks.
Thank you very much for speaking with us, Jonathan. That was Jonathan Root, Senior Vice President at Moody's Investor Service, with his outlook on the global aviation industry. Now, Moody's has come out to say that they expect capacity to be cut by about half, so 40 to 60% or more for the second quarter of this year. And in some cases, they expect to see a cut of more than 75% compared to the second quarter of 2019, because we've talked about this before, the fact that travel is a luxury item. It's not an essential item. And with travel restrictions now in place, everyone's just staying at home. Nobody's flying except for perhaps the people who are coming back from countries that are seeing outbreaks.
Yeah, so I think now the debate is really which businesses are at the top of the food chain and therefore deserving either bailout money or support money from banks and governments, airlines being one of those sectors that where they are at risk of not seeing any business at all for the next 3-6 months, right? And what do you do with them? Do you continue to put them on life support? Obviously, you do, because they are a part of the economy. They employ a lot of people. There are a lot of other industries that depend on the airline industry, like tourism and hotels and so on. So it is a very tricky situation about what you do with empty planes.
It is a really tricky situation. We had reports of some airlines flying ghost flights in order to maintain their air routes. And most recently, I think the UK government has ruled out a broad bailout for the aviation sector. But at the end of the day, you know, I think it is going to come to a head, particularly if cases continue to tick upwards in countries like the UK or in countries around the world, really. In the UAE have also said that they are going to halt all inbound, outbound and transit passenger flights for 2 weeks. And whether or not that 2 weeks extends even further in the same vein as our MCO, who knows at this point. But right now we are heading into some messages. And then up next, we're speaking with Jennifer Ong, founder and CEO of Hapa Group, on the economic struggles of business owners amid the movement control order. So keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.